In this session, we shall look at how a change in partnership sharing ratios is dealt with for capital gains tax purposes. However, before we look at the rules in relation to a change in profit sharing ratio, we'll look in a little more detail at what happens when a partner joins or leaves a partnership. When an individual joins a partnership, he may well be expected to introduce funds to the partnership. There are no capital gains tax consequences if an incoming partner introduces cash which is credited to either his current or capital account. Although the new partner will obtain a fractional interest in the partnership assets when he joins the partnership, the cash introduced by him to the partnership is not treated as the cost of the acquisition of the fractional interest. If the incoming partner transfers an asset to the partnership by way of a capital contribution, the partner is treated as having made a part disposal of the asset. So, if the new partner is entitled to 10% of the capital profits of the partnership, he will have given up a 90% share in the asset he transfers to the partnership and is therefore treated as disposing of 90% of the asset. The consideration for capital gains tax purposes will be the relevant proportion of the total consideration paid by the partnership for the asset. The consideration paid by the partnership is taken to be the amount credited to the partner's capital account. The cost to be taken into account will be calculated using normal part disposal rules. Let's consider an example of this. Fred and George are in a partnership, sharing income and capital equally. On the 1st of August 2010, Henry joins the partnership. He introduces cash of £20,000, which is credited to his capital account, and also transfers a building which he owns to the partnership. £350,000 is credited to his capital account in respect of this transfer, being the market value of the building at the time. Henry had bought the building in July 2002 for £130,000. After Henry joins the partnership, the income and capital profits are allocated 50% to Fred, 40% to George, and 10% to Henry. The introduction by Henry of the cash of £20,000 to the partnership has no capital gains tax consequences. However, Henry is treated as disposing of 90% of his interest in the building he transfers to the partnership and will have a chargeable gain in respect of this disposal. The deemed proceeds will be 90% of the consideration credited to his capital account in respect of the transfer. The cost will be calculated using the normal A over A plus B formula. So, proceeds will be 90% of £350,000, giving £315,000. Allowable cost will be the original cost of £130,000 multiplied by the value of the part sold, that is £315,000, divided by the total value of £350,000, giving £117,000. Henry will therefore be taxed on a gain of £198,000. In effect, Henry made a profit of £220,000 when he transferred the building to the partnership, being the consideration of £350,000 credited to his capital account, less the cost of the asset of £130,000. However, as he retained a 10% interest in the asset, he's only charged on 90% of the gain, being the £198,000. Fred has acquired a 50% interest in the building. His cost is equivalent to 50% of the consideration paid for the building, being £175,000. George has acquired a 40% interest, giving him a cost of £140,000. Henry's base cost is the remainder of his original cost of acquisition, giving £13,000. Note that the same calculation would apply if an existing partner transferred an asset wholly owned by him to the partnership. When a new partner joins a partnership, he will acquire an interest in the existing assets of the partnership. We will look at this situation when we deal with changes in partnership sharing ratios. When a partner leaves a partnership, there are no capital gains tax consequences when the partner withdraws cash from his capital account. He is simply withdrawing what belongs to him. We looked at what happens when an asset is distributed to a partner in the previous session. An outgoing partner will give up his interest in assets which are remaining partnership assets. We will look at this situation as part of our look at changes in partnership sharing ratios.
The revenues practice in this area is dealt with at SPD 12, paragraphs 4 and 5. In this session, we shall concentrate on paragraph 4 of the statement of practice. We will deal with paragraph 5 in the next lecture. There are a number of events which could cause there to be a change in the capital sharing ratio of a partnership. If a partner leaves a partnership, for example on retirement or death, his share will naturally decrease and the share of the remaining partners will increase. The converse will happen when a new partner joins a partnership. Lastly, the partnership composition could remain unaltered, but the existing partners could simply decide to change the partnership agreement and allocate capital surpluses in different proportions. Remembering back to the previous session, one of the fundamental principles of partnership capital gains is that each partner is deemed to own a fractional share in each partnership asset. Remember that for CGT purposes, the concept of a partnership does not exist, and each partner is treated as owning a share of each asset in his or her own right. Therefore, when a partner becomes entitled to a greater share in a partnership asset, for example on joining the partnership or on a change of partnership agreement, this is treated as an acquisition of an asset for CGT purposes. Conversely, if a partner's share decreases, for example on leaving the partnership or on a change in partnership agreement, this is treated as a disposal for capital gains tax purposes. In certain instances, therefore, a change in partnership sharing ratios will give rise to a CGT liability in the hands of the partner or partners whose share in partnership assets goes down.
It's important to distinguish this situation from the previous chapter, where the asset ended up being wholly owned by one person. Here the asset is remaining a partnership asset. There is merely a change in the proportions owned by the respective partners. Paragraph 4 of the Statement of Practice deals with a change in partnership sharing ratios where there is no revaluation of the asset in the partnership accounts prior to the change in partnership sharing ratios. In other words, the asset is reflected in the balance sheet at original cost and not at market value at some later date. On a change in partnership sharing ratios, the disposal consideration for the partner giving up a share of the asset will be the relevant fraction of the current balance sheet value of the asset. Where there has been no adjustment through the partnership accounts, a change in partnership sharing ratios is therefore a no gain, no loss disposal by the partner whose share in the partnership assets goes down. This is because the cost available to set against the proceeds will be the same amount, as the asset is reflected in the balance sheet at original cost.
Essentially, the partner whose share decreases is treated as having sold his share to his or her fellow partners for an amount such that neither a gain nor a loss will accrue. We shall look at this in some detail during the course of this session.
This will, however, have the effect of decreasing his base cost for CGT purposes in the event of a subsequent disposal of the asset outside the partnership.
It stands to reason where one partner's share in partnership assets goes down, another partner's share will go up. The partner or partners whose profit shares increase are treated as making an acquisition for CGT purposes, and this will increase their base costs in the event of a subsequent disposal. Let us illustrate how the no gain, no loss rules work by running through a couple of examples. Assume Alan and Brian are in partnership sharing income and capital equally. The only partnership asset is goodwill, which was acquired by the partnership on the 1st of July 1999 for £100,000.
On the 1st of January 2011, the partners decide to change the income and capital sharing ratios. From January 2011, income and capital profits will be allocated 40% to Alan and 60% to Brian. You will see that Alan's share of the partnership goodwill has gone down from 50% to 40%. Alan is therefore treated as having made a disposal of a 10% interest in the goodwill. Brian is similarly treated as having acquired an additional 10% share in the partnership goodwill. Let us assume that the partners do not revalue the goodwill within the partnership accounts. If this is the case, paragraph 4 of the statement of practice will apply. The disposal by Alan will therefore take place at no gain, no loss. Let us first consider Alan's position on the disposal of a 10% share in the partnership goodwill as at the 1st of January 2011.
The partnership paid £100,000 for the goodwill in July 1999.
For CGT purposes, Alan is deemed to have sold his 10% interest in the goodwill to Brian for £10,000, i.e. 10% of the balance sheet value. As Alan is disposing of a 10% share, his base cost of this share will be £10,000, giving no gain, no loss. It's only fair that Alan should not be taxed on a gain at this point, because he has not made any actual profit. Although his share in the goodwill has decreased, he has not received value in excess of original cost in respect of giving up part of his share. Brian is deemed to have bought Alan's 10% share in the goodwill from him for £10,000.
This £10,000 can therefore be treated as enhancement expenditure incurred by Brian. The change in capital sharing ratios will affect the base costs of Alan and Brian. Alan now has a 40% interest in the goodwill, and Brian has a 60% interest. The goodwill cost £100,000, originally split equally between Alan and Brian. However, on the change in capital sharing ratios, we reduce Alan's base cost by £10,000 and increase Brian's base cost by corresponding amounts. Therefore, when Alan and Brian eventually come to sell the partnership goodwill, Alan will have a base cost of £40,000 and Brian a base cost of £60,000.
Alan's base cost has decreased, but of course Alan will also be entitled to less of the proceeds on a subsequent disposal of the goodwill.
Let us now run through an alternative example. Here we have a partnership in which Claire has a 60% interest and David a 40% interest.
The partnership owns an office which originally cost £100,000 in September 1998. On the 1st of July 2010, a new partner, Ewan, joined the partnership. Ewan was thereafter given a 20% profit share. David's interest remained at 40%. However, Claire's is reduced from 60% to 40%. For CGT purposes, Ewan is treated as having acquired a 20% interest in the office on the 1st of July 2010. David's share has remained unchanged, so therefore he makes neither a disposal nor an acquisition. However, Claire's interest in the partnership assets reduces from 60% to 40%. Therefore, she is treated as having disposed of a 20% interest in the office as at the 1st of July 2010. The partners do not choose to revalue the property at the 1st of July 2010, and accordingly, no adjustment is made through the partnership accounts. Paragraph 4 of the Statement of Practice will therefore apply, such that Claire's disposal takes place at neither a gain nor a loss. Again, the first thing we must do is to put together Claire's capital gains tax computation as at the 1st of July 2010. The partnership acquired the office in September 1998 for £100,000. Claire is disposing of a 20% interest in the office and is therefore deemed to have sold her 20% share in the office to Ewan for £20,000. The base cost of this share is also £20,000, giving a gain of nil.
This £20,000 is Ewan's base cost for future CGT purposes. This no gain, no loss disposal will therefore alter the base costs of the three partners. Originally, the base cost of the asset, i.e. £100,000, was split 60-40 between Claire and David.
Following the disposal in July 2010, Claire's base cost goes down by £20,000, whilst Ewan makes an acquisition of an asset and is deemed to have paid £20,000.
The revised base cost of the office in the hands of the partners is now as per your screen. When Claire and David come to sell their share in the office, their base cost will each be £40,000.
Ewan acquired his 20% interest for £20,000 on the 1st of July 2010. To complete this example, assume that the partnership sells the office building for £500,000 on the 31st of May 2011, but it continues to trade from other rented premises.
Where a partnership asset is sold to a third party, gains are calculated under paragraph 2 of the Statement of Practice, using the rules that we covered in the previous session. The proceeds are allocated between the partners using the capital sharing ratios at the date of disposal. The partners' respective base costs were calculated on the previous screen.
The partner's capital gains are therefore as per your screen. The amount of the gains are equal to the amount that will be credited to the individual partner's capital accounts. Ewan has made a significant profit, even though he has only held an interest in the asset for a very short period. As this may not be considered equitable, Claire and David could avoid this situation by revaluing the building in the accounts prior to Ewan joining the partnership. We will look at this in the next session.